the Baltimore Sports Free For All. The hunt for the AL East has drastically heated up since the last time we talked Orioles on the Baltimore Sports Free For All, and it is fun to watch, especially after Wednesday night's game, because that could have been the most pivotal game in this season for the Orioles, and that was Kevin Gausman going 8 scoreless innings against the Boston Red Sox, who have just the most dynamic, one of the more dynamic lineups in the league. And a 1-0 performance, the Orioles get that win at the end with Zach Britton, and now one game back in the American League East as of this podcast. It's really fun to watch.
And not just one game back of the AL East leading Boston Red Sox, but one game ahead of the Toronto Blue Jays, who are now just looking like they're on a tailspin in the wild card standings. So yes, with less than 20 games left to play, maybe 17 games left to play if I'm doing my math correctly, if the Baltimore Orioles season ended today, if their season came down to one more game in the postseason, they would be hosting it at Camden Yards against the Blue Jays.
And that would be an electrified crowd. Yeah, attendance is really, really bad right now. I think it's really bad across the league in general, but with the Orioles, as soon as that playoff atmosphere hits, then Camden Yards is going to be rocking. It's going to be loud. It's going to be the point where you got so many different things happening. The Delmon Young bases clearing double that he did, where the crowd just exceeded decibel levels to where they had the cops called on them during spring training because Buck Showalter played over the loudspeaker to simulate something. Yeah, that's going to be returning to Camden Yards here very soon, and not a moment too soon, because I'm getting tired of looking at all the green seats.
Yeah, and actually with an 80-65 record, yes, there are 17 games remaining on the Orioles schedule. I'll even narrow them down for you right now. They have a 4-game home series coming up against the Tampa Bay Rays from Thursday, September 15th through Sunday, September 18th.
At the same time that series is going on, the Red Sox are going to be playing the Yankees.
Monday, September 19th, the Orioles host a 4-game home series until the Thursday, September 22nd, against the Boston Red Sox. And I'll tell you what, if Boston does not do well against the New York Yankees, their back's going to be against the wall in that series.
Yeah, and it could be a gut check time, because I remember 2 years ago we were counting down the magic numbers until the Orioles clinched, and I believe
I don't think it's going to be that easy this time around.
Not this easy this time around, because we were counting it down. I remember on the recording of this podcast, the day of the recording of this podcast, the magic number was 3, and I remember I posted a picture of Harold Baines, one of my favorite Orioles of all time, and it's just surreal to think that now they're going completely down to the wire here for the battle of the American League East. It could come down to the last game of the season, Josh, and hold on to your butts.
Yep, and their last 3 games at Oriole Park at Camden Yards from Friday, September 23rd through Sunday, September 25th will be against the Arizona Diamondbacks, who aren't necessarily having the best of seasons in terms of MLB standards, especially in late September.
Well, when was the last time the Diamondbacks actually had a meaningful season? Since Randy Johnson was with them?
I'd say since the Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling era, or back when Luis Gonzalez was their main hitter right there. Oh, Craig Counsell, too. I remember he was on that team. Isn't it crazy? I remember the teams that Buck Showalter used to coach and the guys that used to be on those teams.
And especially since that Arizona Diamondbacks team kind of ended that Yankee dynasty of the 90s, because they were going to win another World Series title right there, and the Diamondbacks came in and shut them down, Schilling and Randy Johnson, and it was a sight to behold during that year, and it just, the Yankees couldn't really get back into the postseason gold and glory they had under the Joe Torre years, preceded by Buck Showalter, of course. And now we have 2016, where the Yankees, I wouldn't even think, are in the discussion for the postseason, even though they are not that far out.
You never know what's going to happen in a week or so. I mean, that's the crazy thing about the American League East. There are 4 teams in the American League East right now that a week from now could change the entire landscape of the MLB postseason as we know it. Heck, I mean, the Detroit Tigers, the Seattle Mariners, they could play a huge part coming into the postseason if they get on a hot streak with 17 games left to go. But with 17 games left to go for your 80-65 second place Baltimore Orioles, let's go in the Wayback Machine. The last time we had an episode of the Baltimore Sports Free For All
was in August.
No, it was actually early. Well, actually, yeah, technically it was in August, but the last series, of course, coming up for series in a row the Orioles have won, and we're going to start with the first one here. Friday, September 2nd, Orioles win 8-0 over the Yankees. Dylan Bundy was your winner, improving to 8-5. Green, the loser, at 2-4. Saturday, September 3rd, Orioles win 2-0. Gausman, your winner, improving to 7-10. CeCe Sabathia, the loser, at 8-12. Zach Britton collecting his 40th save of the season. We'll definitely be talking about Zach Britton later on in the show. Sunday, September 4th, Orioles lose 5-2. Severino was your winner, improving to 2-8. Wade Miley Cyrus, the loser, at 8-12. And Dylan Betances collecting his 8th save of the season.
We are going to have a recurring theme with Wade Miley Cyrus because the dude is a complete definition of a dumpster fire. It's not
a wrecking ball.
It's not even Ubaldo Jimenez bad. It's way down there. Name me a really, really scrub Orioles pitcher that just gave the game away every single time.
Kevin Millwood.
No, it was it's Jake Arrieta.
Oh, yeah. Let's see here. What about us? Oh, Ubaldo Jimenez was your winner on Monday, September 5th against the Tampa Bay Rays on the road. 7-3 win right there. Jimenez improving to 6-11. Andrisse the loser at 6-7.
Now, there's a guy whose fortunes have improved since the last time we recorded a podcast. The guy all of a sudden is in fuego. He's become a stopper, so to speak, and he actually carried the torch in Chris Tillman's absence. He did his job, and congratulations, Mr. Jimenez, because you are now a citizen of the good old U.S. of A.
Yep, so he's carrying a torch, and he's carrying some American flags as well. Tuesday, September 6th, Orioles win 11-2 on the road against the Tampa Bay Rays. Giovanni Gallardo was your winner, improving to 5-7. Odorizzi, the loser, at 9-6. Wednesday, September 7th, the Orioles unfortunately could not get the series win sweep against the Tampa Bay Rays, losing 7-6. Boxberger, the winner, improving to 3-0. Michael Givens, the loser, at 8-2. Colome getting his 31st save of the season. Friday, September 9th, and this was the close wild card series that the Orioles were playing against as they went on to the Motor City to take on the Detroit Tigers, losing the Friday, September 9th game 4-3. Wilson was your winner, improving to 3-0. Brad Brock, the loser, at 8-3. Rodriguez collecting his 40th save of the season. Saturday, September 10th, Orioles win 11-3 against the Tigers. Ubaldo Jimenez, good Ubaldo Jimenez, improving to 7-11. And Zimmerman, the loser, at 9-6.
It's been good Ubaldo for a while now.
All September, actually. Sunday, September 11th, welcome back Chris Tillman. Getting that win 3-1. Tillman getting his 16th win of the season. I believe that ties a career high right there for Chris Tillman. I'll have to fact check that shortly. Improving to 16-5. Verlander, the loser, at 14-8. Zach Britton, in 41st save of the season. Go on.
If only he didn't get hurt, he could very well be on his way to a 20-game win season.
Yep, like one Rick Porcello, who we'll get to shortly. And as the Orioles move on to Beantown to take on the Boston Red Sox in a pivotal three-game road series, Monday, September 12th, losing 12-2. David Price, who was your winner, improving to 16-8.
Thanks, wrecking ball.
Miley Cyrus, the loser, at 8-13. Tuesday, September 13th, Orioles win in offensive fashion 6-3. Dylan Bundy was your winner, improving to 9-5. Drew Pomeranz, the loser, at 2-5. Zach Britton getting his 42nd save of the season. And Wednesday, September 14th, against the Boston Red Sox on the road at Fenway Park, the Orioles win 1-0. Kevin Gausman was your winner, improving to 8-10. Rick Porcello, the 20-game winner, was the loser, losing to 20-4. So he was disimproving there. Zach Britton getting his 43rd save of the season. Gausman in that game was not only en fuego, he was el fuego.
So he was the fire.
He was the fire in that game.
He's not a bad fire. He's not a good fire.
He's El Fire. El Fuego.
El Fire. I kind of like the sound of that, the El Fire. If you actually combine the English and the Spanish, that would be a pretty neat. But, yeah, Kevin Gausman, nice win for the kid, and we could be seeing something. I hope this is a taste of things to come for one Kevin Gausman, Mr. Young Kevin Gausman, because Orioles pitching, Orioles starting, that's just something that's always been their Achilles heel. Could they actually muster a comeback here with their starting pitching and actually become the complete opposite of what people thought they were in the playoffs?
All right, and I know in the majority of the episodes that we have done this year on the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All, we have bogged you down with statistics, who has been doing good, who's been doing bad. If you, the listener, have been watching the games recently, we don't need to tell you who's been doing good and who's been doing bad. All that matters at this point with 17 games left is the final score and the outcome and the standings at this point. But let's talk about guys who have been doing good, guys who have been doing bad. Let's start off with the good here. How about J.J. Hardy and how he's been doing good? He's been bringing the bat on the road. He's been getting his average over 400. He's been fielding well and also playing at his healthiest that he has been since, what, 2013 was the last year where he's been that productive?
Yeah, because that was when he signed that contract and everyone was going, okay, well, there we go. J.J. Hardy's locked in for the rest of the year, for the rest of his career, and, well, now he's got the injury bug. He suffers. Oh, here we go. And again, another Brian Roberts where we sign the guy. We want him to sign the guy. They do. And then he gets hurt for the contract and doesn't live up to that contract. But nope, J.J. Hardy now keeping his health up and actually becoming a pivotal player in this offense and defense.
All right. And the bad, I guess we could say, is the wrecking ball, Wade Miley Cyrus.
Oh, he's bad all around.
Yeah. And we never thought we would say this on the show, but we are fortunate to have Ubaldo Jimenez as your fifth starter, especially on the role he's been lately. All right. If we were to put a four-man rotation right now, Miley is not going to be in.
No.
No, definitely not. I don't even know if he'll make the playoff roster. But if you had to pick four starters, Ray, to set up for the postseason, if the postseason started tomorrow, who would be your four starters?
Tillman. Gausman.
Definitely.
Bundy.
As your three?
And then as your fourth, got to go with the hot hand.
I never thought we'd say this. Ubaldo?
Yeah.
So what's Giovanni going to do?
Bullpen?
Long relief, you think?
Long relief? Coming in as, like, you know, maybe, like, giving a guy a break on, like, 2 days of rest or something like that you have to do in the playoffs? I don't know. That one really, really stumped me, though. I had to say it. I'm like, I cannot believe I'm saying this. Is this real? Am I not have salt on my tongue?
Are we
like
actually
that?
Contemplating bringing Ubaldo back for his fourth and final year? I mean, it's that's how crazy this season has been. It's been so close, so tumultuous that we don't know what's going to happen in the span of the next week or so.
Put it this way. With the way Ubaldo Jimenez has performed prior to the hot streak that he's been on, and their 15 games over 500 is remarkable.
Absolutely.
Completely remarkable. And despite the lack of starting pitching, I just don't see why you wouldn't bring him back for his fourth year.
Question mark? Yeah, you never thought you'd say that.
You just got to ride the hot hand, so to speak, because he became a social media darling when he won his citizenship for the United States, and everyone's like, oh yeah, look at this, what a great story, everybody's, you know, condemning this country and everything like that. But you got to remember, there's people who want to be in this country and everything else that was going on with the politics. But he actually was trending pretty good on social media with that, and just good for him. And it's just the long roll. Yeah, we beat him up on the show because it's good Ubaldo, bad Ubaldo, because you never know what you're going to get with the guy. He's a box of chocolates. But with Ubaldo Jimenez, yeah, if he can continue this hot roll and go right into the playoffs in October and can just do what he's doing, that just makes me feel so good. It makes me feel really, really good about this team.
Okay, easy there, James Brown. You don't need to keep telling how good you feel and everything. We'll feel better if the Orioles make the postseason. Here's another one here. Kevin Gausman, in his last seven games that he's played, 5-1, 1.85 ERA. Besides Ubaldo Jimenez, has there been anybody that has stepped up more for the Baltimore Orioles down the stretch than Kevin Gausman? And this was a guy who we were on the show saying, is this kid ever going to get a break? Is he ever going to get on a win streak? And lo and behold,
he does.
Yeah.
He does, and he lives up to the non-Jeremy Guthrie streak and is actually getting some support. So he didn't get any support on the night, but he didn't need it because he didn't give up any runs.
No, he had stone-cold water running through his veins in that game.
Well, anybody else is stepping up. You obviously got to look at Zach Britton in discussion for Cy Young. Put him in the discussion for Cy Young with Zach Britton, because this guy is just number one money. He is the equivalent of what Jonathan Papelbon was 10 years ago, being preceded by Hideki Okajima for the Boston Red Sox. The dude was unhittable. You could put him up there with Eric Gagne in his prime. You could put him up there with John Smoltz when they put him in as a closer. Randy Myers. Let's see if anybody else has a closer. They were just unstoppable in their day. Yeah. Those guys right there. BJ Ryan was also one that you could think of that was unstoppable. This guy is better than all those guys I just mentioned. It's amazing to see how he's kept it up for so long. And you say closes are a dime a dozen, but right now, Zach Britton, if I were to have a dime for every time he saved the game, I'd have many dimes.
Yeah, as being the opposite of Enzo and Cass there. Now, I know you just got back from vacation, and I know we were trying to make this stress-free and controversy-free, but this does need mentioning because it has been all over national news the last couple of days. The comments that were made by Adam Jones to USA Today in regards to the recent, I guess, uprising of social injustice that Colin Kaepernick brought up, that, you know, Adam Jones bringing it up in Major League Baseball and saying how it's a white man's sport and everything else, and I won't get into details. I'll say this, and then I'll let you put in your words and your thoughts. Is Adam Jones entitled to his opinion, whether it's sports related or public related or related to him in any sort of way? Absolutely, he is. Is he right in this regard? Maybe, maybe not. Is he wrong in this regard? Maybe, maybe not. But as a person who believes in the First Amendment myself, I believe he has the right to say what he has to say. You don't have to agree with it, so to speak. You can disagree with it in a respectful manner. My problem on social media was this. The fans who were, you could disagree with the guy, but to shun him completely and disown him and not even bring him up in conversation, I think is ludicrous, especially at this point in the season. You don't, like I said, you can disagree with him, but to shun him completely and act like he doesn't matter anymore because he said something you disagree with, I think is asinine.
It doesn't matter anymore. The dude's a locker room leader, if anything. Yes, numbers haven't really lived up to par this season, but
27 home runs still, you know.
That's pretty good. No, I'm talking average-wise.
Oh, right,
it's
right.
Just been the way that it has been going on with Adam Jones. But, yeah, the guy is a locker room leader and the pivotal key to this cog. And here's the thing also about Adam Jones.
Real quick, though, the current history of the Baltimore Orioles, before you continue, the current history of the Baltimore Orioles, you cannot write any chapter without mentioning Adam Jones. But go on.
No, you can't. But here's the other thing, too, about that whole story, everything like that. He was asked a question. He didn't go on a pedestal. He was just simply asked a question, and he answered it.